So this week, Pope Leo held his first consistory. And by the way, I will misspell, I will mispronounce consistory at least once in this podcast. If you can find it and mark it, let me know. Okay, so this week, Pope Leo held his first consistory. And we're going to talk a little bit more about, in general, what consistories are and versus synods and councils in this podcast. But I just want a real quick review of what he actually talked, what was going on during this consistory that happened on January 7th and 8th, 2026. So it was, the planning for it was they're going to cover four topics. They're going to cover evangelization based upon the 2013 Francis Apostolic Exhortation Evangelium Gaudium. They're going to cover synod on synodality. They're going to cover the liturgy. And the fourth topic was going to be Curia Reform. However, note that this, when they say it was 2 days, it actually was not even two full days. It was like basically a day and a half. So four topics is a lot to cover. And so right at the beginning, it was announced, okay, you know, we actually don't have time for four topics. We're going to let the cardinals vote on the two they want to talk about the most. And they chose, the topics they chose were evangelization and synod on synodality. So liturgy was dropped and Curia Reform was dropped. Now, a lot of traditionalists leading into the consistory were thinking, hey, they're going to talk about the liturgy. Maybe they will address the whole issue, all the issues related to the traditional Latin mass, traditionis custodis, and things of that nature. Obviously, that was all shelved. And so none of that was talked about. I know it was a disappointment for some people. But ultimately, those are the two they talked about, two topics they talked about. But what is interesting, I think, is that the fact that Pope Leo announced that there will be another consistory at the end of June of this year, 2026, and then he hopes to have them annually after that. And in fact, the one in June, I think, is going to be 2 days, like this one. And then after that, he hopes to have them be 3 or 4 days long. So the idea is he wants to have a regular meeting of the cardinals. That is what consistory is. If you're not sure, it's a meeting of the cardinals when they all get together to meet every year, basically, during his pontificate. And so it brought to mind a couple things in my thoughts and others as well. It's just the idea that under Francis, we seem to have perpetual synod. There was a synod almost every year. It seemed like there was a synod on synodality for a couple years. And I think I did a podcast on this where it really seemed like we've been a church of meetings, that meetings seem to be the most important thing we can have. Like I said, there was perpetual synod under Francis. There are going to be regular consistories under Leo. I will say that I have a kind of natural allergic reaction to meetings. I hate them. I've always liked working for myself because I don't have to meet with anybody. I have had jobs where I've had meetings, and I've always hated them. And I've had jobs where I've had to conduct meetings. I've been in charge. I had to have meetings. I still hated them. But I know when I had meetings, I was like, okay, we're going to get in there. We're going to get things done. We're going to get out. Meetings that just drag on are the worst. But for some reason, progressives, liberals seem to love meetings. They seem to love committees and getting together and talking. It seems to be something that is just innate to them, that they want to have as many meetings as possible. And I don't really get this. Now, I will say meetings are necessary at times. It's not like we're communal beings. We're made to be in communion with other people in communities. We're going to meet at times. So I'm not saying all meetings are wrong, but it just seems like we have meetings upon meetings. We have meetings about meetings. It's like a Dilbert cartoon at this point. And so I admit I had a little bit of that reaction to this, but I do think the more I thought about it, I do think there's some distinctions we need to make about what Pope Leo is doing and contrast it with what Francis is doing, what Francis did with the synods. And also I want to address something that Bishop Barron said, which I thought was basically excellent, about synods and councils and things of that nature. Because I do think this is something that, the average layman, who's probably the one person watching this, could care less about most of this stuff. I get that. They don't care about councils and synods and consistories. They're just like, hey, I'm in my pew. I want a decent liturgy. I want a church that knows its identity. I want a church that is bold and unapologetic. I want to believe. I want the bishops to believe. I want my priests to believe. I don't care about your meetings and your bureaucracy in the Vatican. That being said, though, it's very obviously important to church officials, to the church at large, to the bishops, to the Vatican, to the Pope. And so I do think we should address this. So the first thing I want to do is just kind of break down the difference between a council, a synod, and a consistory. A council, when I say council, I am talking about an ecumenical council here. There have only been 21 ecumenical councils. 21 councils, count them all, you know the sound. Okay, so that is the most solemn gathering of bishops. And only bishops are technically participants in an ecumenical council. Yes, I know at Vatican II and at Vatican I, there were non-bishops invited. There might have been at other councils, I don't know. But I know there's like royal representatives sometimes, things like that in the past. But the point is, the only voting members, the only members that matter are the bishops. So an ecumenical council is when a pope calls all the bishops together to talk about, and traditionally to talk about, historically to talk about a specific topic, like a heresy that needs to be combated. Maybe there's some crisis in the church, some practice that needs to be redone or something like that. But they will talk about dogma. They will talk about doctrine. And that's what a council is. And like I said, there's only been 21 of them in total. Synods are like councils. And in fact, sometimes you will find in church documents and historical documents, there's a interchange of the term synod and council, and they can mean the same thing. But what in modern language, when we say council, we mean ecumenical council. When we say synod, we mean something different, something lower. And this is typically a synod of bishops, historically, I'm not going to talk about under Francis, but kind of before Vatican II. Synods were simply gatherings of bishops, usually localized. So an ecumenical council, the word ecumenical means universal. That's for the whole, every single bishop in the world is invited. A synod rarely, if every bishop's invited to a synod, it's an ecumenical council. So instead, a synod is usually a localized gathering of bishops. So for example, there could be a synod of American bishops. I don't think there's been one in a very long time because they have something that's replaced it, which is awful, which I'll talk about in a minute. Yes, I'm talking about the USCCB. Like there was a synod in Baltimore. That's how the Baltimore Catechism came about. Now, in recent years, synods have been basically called by the Pope and have met in Rome. And it's basically select bishops he selects on a specific topic. Now, to be clear, it's not just Francis who did this. JP II did this. I assume there was a synod during Benedict's 8-year reign, but I can't remember exactly. I know there was one. It was like on the Word of God maybe or something like that. I can't remember. But I know, of course, the JP II did one. The Catechism came out of a synod of bishops. And so synods are, in modern post-Vatican II Catholic Church, it's really gatherings of a select number of bishops to gather in Rome to talk about a specific topic. Maybe it's catechesis, evangelization, the Word of God, synods, synodality, whatever. And so that is what a synod is. Now, and lately, synods have not just included bishops. They've included priests and lay people, religious nuns. And so the synod, the term synod has gotten broadened in recent years to mean more than just a gathering of local bishops or a topic of bishops. It includes more. And so really they've become deformed from what synods really are. And sometimes you'll hear defenders of synodality like, oh, the East has always had these synods and we're being like they are. No, you're not. The East is doing the synods like they did it in the early church, which is just simply a localized gathering of bishops about a topic, about something going on in the area. Now, consistory, that is something very different. That is a gathering of all the cardinals of the world. Now, you could have one that you only have some cardinals go to, but the Pope basically calls all the cardinals. Now, let's remember what a cardinal is. A cardinal, first of all, is not a sacramental order. It's not a sacrament. A cardinal is simply an honorary title. given to a bishop, and it can actually be given to a non-bishop, and it has been given to priests. You know, John Henry Newman, St. John Henry Newman is a perfect example. He was a priest who was named a cardinal. And so, but typically it's a bishop. And I don't think they very rarely, although of course Francis did it, they very rarely would pick a non-bishop under the voting age. Because cardinals, their first task is, as we all know, to vote for a new pope when a pope dies or resigns. But the job of a cardinal is to be an advisor to the pope. That's what they are. They're basically advisors. And this goes back, this is an ancient custom. I mean, cardinals, the College of Cardinals as we have it today started in the Middle Ages, I think the 11th century. But really, it dates back much further than that. Because you had the Bishop of Rome. He had the priest in the Diocese of Rome who he consulted with. Those were kind of like the cardinals. And so now the cardinals are, of course, all over the world. But ultimately, they are the advisors to the Pope. In fact, all of them are given, basically, they're pastors of parishes in Rome. And the reason they do that is to kind of harken back to the old days, the ancient church, when the pastors of the various churches in Rome were the advisors to the Pope. So a consistory is when cardinals are gathered together and the Pope calls them together and say, hey, let's talk about this topic. Now, under Francis, he held very few consistories. I think he held one in 2022. I think he held maybe two or three in his 13 years. He did not like getting all the cardinals together. I think, honestly, this is my personal opinion now, I personally think he didn't feel like he could control the room well enough. And so he was worried about that. And so that is basically what a consistory is, in its comparison to a synod or a council. They're all meetings, though. That's an important thing to notice. They're all three meetings. But they're very different types of meetings. And so another thing I want to note is in the history of the church, there's actually a heresy related to this. There's a heresy I would call like the meeting heresy. It's called conciliarism. And it's this idea that the councils, ecumenical councils, are over the Pope. They have authority over the Pope. Now, in Catholic teaching, that is not the case. The Pope is the top authority. And ecumenical council is also a top authority, but an ecumenical council is not above the Pope. If an ecumenical council, like the Pope, can be infallible when it declares something definitively in faith and morals, an ecumenical council is infallible, just like the Pope is infallible. It is the highest authority of the church in a certain sense because it works with the Pope. There is no such thing as an ecumenical council without the Pope. Not that the Pope has to physically be there, but that he is basically the one who calls it and confirms it. But conciliarism, I mispronounced that word and said consistory. I'm terrible at pronouncing words. You all know that by now. But conciliarism, I don't know how to pronounce it, whatever. That is this idea that cropped up in the Middle Ages when all of a sudden you have two or three popes. And it's a real crisis, obviously, in the church. Two or three men claiming to be popes. Obviously, you don't have two or three popes at the same time ever. But two or three meaning there's meaning a pope and at least one anti-pope claiming to be the pope. And this was the idea that councils are above them. And I, you know, honestly, this is probably the heresy I'm most sympathetic to. Because I understand if you're in a situation where you don't even know who the freaking Pope is, like which man is the Pope, it'd be nice to have somebody, an authority that could just say, okay, we're above them. We're gonna declare it. And at the Council of Constance, this was kind of declared. This idea was really popular, and they declared what they decided was we're going to have an ecumenical council in, like, I think 5 years, and 7 years, and every 10 years. They want to have an ecumenical council every 10 years. Now, remember, I've said there's 21 ecumenical councils, and we've had about 21-ish centuries. So there's, on average, one council every 100 years, every century. We've had less than that over the past 400 years. We've only had three. You know, Trent, since, you know, we had Trent, but like before we had Trent, Vatican II. But before Trent, there was actually an ecumenical council in that same century, just a few decades before. I think it was Lateran V. It was a failure. That's why they needed Trent. But the point of this is that they wanted, at Constance, they wanted an ecumenical council every 10 years. That never happened. It never happened where they had the council like they wanted to. But the idea was the same as you kind of see in the synodality idea now, that we have constant meetings. Constant means let's just keep talking, get the bishops together, keep talking, keep deciding things, keep producing documents, keep, you know, talking to each other. That's why it's like the meeting heresy, the heresy of meetings. And while I'm sympathetic to the point about if you don't know who the Pope is, it's nice to have somebody who could tell you for sure, and a council could do that in this idea. Ultimately, of course, I don't like it because it's about meetings. Now, Bishop Barron had a tweet the other day that kind of talked about some of these issues, and I want to bring it up here and read it for you and talk about it a little bit. And he writes here, he says, I understand that one of the topics under consideration at the consistory of cardinals is synodality. He wrote this the day before it started. I'm speaking as a bishop who is an elected delegate to both rounds of the Synod of Synodality and who has just presided over a local synod in my own diocese. Oh, that's a good point. I forgot to mention synods can also be local of one bishop with just his priest. That can be a synod. Synods are good and useful tools for the determination of practical pastoral strategies. And I agree with that. That is very true. I think they can be overused and you can do too many of them, but he's absolutely right in what he says there. And then Bishop Barron continues, but they oughtn't be forums for debate regarding doctrine. Amen, Your Excellency. And that's the problem is that I'm sure, I don't know what Bishop Barron's synod was about, his local one, but I'm sure it was about practical nature of how can we evangelize? How can we share the faith? How can we grow the church? Things like that. Well, the Synod on Synodality has been a lot about doctrine. Like, how can we change doctrines? And Bishop Barron said, that's not right. He said, when settled teaching becomes a subject for I'm having a hard time today, determination, the church devolves into relativism and self-doubt, as is clearly evident by the misconceived synodal way in Germany. I'm sympathetic to the founders of the journal Communio. You know you're not going to have Bishop Barron talking much. He's not going to bring up Communio and new theology and stuff like that, but that's just who he is. You know, Joseph Ratzinger, Hans Urs von Balthasar, and Henry de Lubac, who broke with the Journal Concilium with the stated purpose was the perpetuation of the spirit of Vatican II. In other words, there was this journal called Concilium that people like Ratzinger, von Balthasar, and de Lubac were part of, and they really were into the spirit of Vatican II. And Ratzinger, de Lubac, von Balthasar, some others broke away because, this is wrong. The spirit of Vatican II is stupid. We're going to found Communio. The great Communio theologian said that councils are indeed sometimes necessary in the life of the church, but that one sighs with relief at the end of a council, for the church can then return to its essential work. As long as it sits in council, the church is in suspense, unsure of itself, wringing its hands. It was precisely the perpetuation of the spirit of Vatican II that led to so much vacillation and drift in the years when I was coming of age. This is Bishop Barron talking. So if we must continue with synodality, let it be dedicated to the consideration of practical means by which the church can move more effectively to do its work of worshiping God, evangelizing, and serving the poor. Let not be a defining and permanent feature of the church's life, lest we lose our verve and focus. I want to say amen. I'll go a little further than Bishop Barron, but I just want to commend Bishop Barron. This is very good. I love what he brought up about the fact that, sometimes the council is necessary in the life of church, but that we sigh in relief when it's over. That is so true. Because during a council, you're in a situation then where things are up for debate. I mean, literally doctrine's up for debate in a certain sense. Not that new doctrines that contradict old doctrine can be declared, but like you don't know what's going to happen because the council is debating these important topics. You don't want that as the perpetual mission and state of the church. And I think what Bishop Barron's saying, and I agree with him, is that that's what synodality is doing. This idea of synodality is we're perpetually talking about doctrine and talking about all this stuff. Now, I would go further than Bishop Barron and be more critical of synodality. I think it just should be scrapped. But that being said, I think Bishop Barron and I are probably on the same page in a lot of ways because the problem with synodality as it has been promoted by Francis and many others like him at the Vatican is that is this perpetual meeting, this perpetual debate about what we believe. And that's not healthy. We need to be doing, what did Bishop Barron say? Oh, let me look at this again. At the end, he said, synod should be dedicated to consideration of practical means by which the church can do more effectively its work of what? Worshiping God, evangelizing, and serving the poor. In other words, meetings are not the mission of the church. Meetings are not the mission of the church. Glorifying God and saving souls is the mission of the church. And so even a council is a disruption in the life of the church. It might be necessary because heresy is rampant and we got to clamp down. We got to make sure it's clear what we believe. But it's a disruption. It's not the norm. It should not be the norm. Synods, like I said, are good in theory, but really they've been awful in practice, at least the synods called by Rome. Because what they do is they, every time a new synod happens, what happens? It's like, oh, we might have women deacons now. That's a settled issue. Bringing it up is just ridiculous. Or we're going to debate like divorce and remarried, communion for divorce and remarried, things of that nature. All these things are settled, and they're not topics for modern synodality or anything. Cardinal Zinn, actually, it came out that Cardinal Joseph Zinn, heroic cardinal, just, a holy man, one of the saints alive today. It came out what he did, a searing critique of the Synod on Synodality at the consistory. And he denounced it as a process, he denounced the process of synodality as an ironclad manipulation, and warned that its continual invocation of the Holy Spirit is, quote, ridiculous and verges on, quote, blasphemy. Because that's what you hear all the time about these synods. Oh, it's the Holy Spirit working. It's the Holy Spirit working in the church. We got to listen to the Spirit. We got to listen to the Spirit at these synods. No, it's a bunch of bureaucrats getting together trying to, push their pet ideology, their pet projects. And it really is harmful for the life of the church. Because as Bishop Barron said, it kind of leaves us in this idea of constant stress of oh, what do we really believe? Instead of getting the job done of our mission, we're always navel gazing. It's always navel gazing. Let's just keep talking about ourselves. I mean, there's one thing that the synod on synodality is, it's 100% self-referential. It's simply you're navel gazing, looking at yourself, and you're not outward focused at all. Now, what about consistories, though? I said councils are necessary disruptions at times. Synods, as their synodality, as it's understood today in the church, is basically awful. But consistories, I personally think this is great. I actually think it's great. I believe, I totally support Pope Leo, the idea of regular consistories. Because what this is, it's the cardinals doing their job as advisors to the Pope. I'm assuming they're not going to rehash doctrine or anything like that. But if they're advising the Pope, this is great, because then the Pope's not sitting in Rome kind of just listening to a bunch of Vatican bureaucrats. Instead, he's hearing from cardinals in America, in Australia, in Asia, in Africa. I mean, please, from Africa, listen to them, from all over the world. And who are actually, because remember, there are many cardinals who are based in Rome, but there are many cardinals who are actual pastors of dioceses. And I think the Pope needs to hear from them regularly. So I'm fully supportive. I'm not a big meeting guy, but I think an annual meeting of all the cardinals to meet with the Pope makes total sense to me. So I completely support this, and I hope Pope Leo actually enacts it. I hope it's not one of these things that kind of he wants to do it, but then it doesn't actually happen. And I also like the idea of them being longer. I mean, 2 days, a day and a half, really. What are you going to do? They had very limited time for the cardinals to speak to all the cardinals. They did mostly small groups. You need 3 or 4 days. I get the cardinals are busy. You can't, have them take off weeks at a time every year. But 3 or 4 days, I think that then you can really get some things done. Because that first day, you're just saying hi to everybody. I mean, we all know that. That last day, you're thinking about getting out the door, going home. And if you have 2 days there where you're completely focused, that's a very good thing. Whereas when it's literally a day and a half, the first day you get there, you meet everybody. The second day, you're thinking about getting out the door. So I'm hopeful, and I'll pray that Pope Leo kind of follows through on this and he does this. Now, one grouping of bishops I have not yet mentioned is the National Conference of Catholic Bishops, like the USCCB. All countries have these. And I've already had podcasts about this, so I'm not going to beat this dead horse, because it is a dead horse. It is very dead. The USCCB is worthless. It really is. And I don't like using that super strong language normally, but it really has become just, I'm not saying it does nothing of worth. I probably shouldn't say worthless then. But it's not worthwhile to have it, because that's just a bureaucratic institution. That's not doing anything. So again, councils, necessary disruptions, they should be, very rare. Synods, local synods like Bishop Barron head of his priest, that sounds like a great idea. even synods in countries. Like if this, if there's a synod of Catholic bishops in America about a specific topic, I could see that. I would not, please do not have it in a hotel room though, or hotel conference room. Have it in like a monastery at a retreat center, something like that. That could be useful. In consistories, yes, let's do that. Ultimately, what this comes down to is just simply, and I think this is what Bishop Barron was saying as well, we need our shepherds to be pastors, not administrators. We need our bishops to be pastors, not administrators. They are primarily ministers. And you know what administrators do better than anybody? They hold meetings. They love their meetings. Administrators, they have meetings all day long, every day. And that's how they check box that things got done. For an administrator, how do you know things got done? You had some good meetings. That always drove me crazy when I was in the corporate world. When people are like, oh, that was a good meeting. That was a good meeting. I'm like, no, it just got the, I mean, no. No meetings are good meetings. Meetings sometimes are necessary evil, but like, and there's bad meetings, but like, I just didn't get people get excited because they had a good meeting. Because ultimately, if they go after the meeting and they don't implement it, because I've been to, oh my gosh, anybody who works in the corporate world, you know what I'm talking about here. You have a meeting. It's a good meeting. Everybody is tasked with these things and none of it gets done. Nothing happens. And you have another good meeting, same thing. And that's what I feel like these kind of synods can be. And the consistory, that could be a danger of it, is you have a good meeting, but then nothing really gets implemented. But that's what ministers do. Pastors, they go out to the flock, they preach, they teach, they do the primary duty of a bishop. Now, a bishop is to govern and preach and teach. I mean, yes, they are still going to govern, so they are administrators, but that's not the exclusively, not even the most important thing. They have to preach the gospel. They have to teach a catechism to souls. Because the mission of the church, like I said, is not to have meetings. The mission of the church is to save souls. Anything that distracts from that mission needs to be jettisoned, frankly. I mean, let's remember what Christ said at the end of when he was about to be ascended into heaven. He said to the disciples, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always to the end of the age. So make disciples, evangelize, baptize them, you know, bring them into full communion, into the church, teach them, make sure they know their catechism, they know doctrine. What did he not say? He did not say, go therefore and have meetings with all nations, consulting on how to be more like the world, which is what the synod on synodality does. So bishops, I know you're all listening to this podcast. I know every bishop in the world, every cardinal, they lock in the crisis point. We all know that. I'm begging you, cut down the meetings and amp up the evangelization and the teaching. Please be pastors more than administrators. That's what we're begging you. I know actually they're not watching this. A few do actually, I know that. But you know, let's encourage and pray for our bishops, pray and fast for our bishops, that they would be more pastors and not administrators. I'm very happy about Bishop Barron, what he is saying. He's trying to be a pastor clearly, not just an administrator. He has to be an administrator on some level, but not just an administrator. So yes, Pope Leo, please have consistories of cardinals to get advice on how best to run the church. Let's drop the synods and pray God that we don't have to have a council anytime soon. And let's pray that, you know, these consistories really bring good fruit into the Catholic Church to save souls, because that's what really it's all about. So okay, I'm going to cut it out there. Until next time, everybody, God love you, and remember the poor.